Warren, on the back of a dollar bill over the pyramid is an eye. What do you think that symbol means?
Well, that's the all-seeing eye, which the vice president under FDR put there on that dollar bill, Henry Wallace. And it's meant to, I think, imply enlightenment, wisdom. And it is a key Masonic symbol. And nobody will ever know essentially what it means other than the generic idea of wisdom and vision and enlightenment.
Okay, how about you, William Henry? What do you think it means?
Oh, I totally agree with Warren that it definitely represents wisdom in the Masonic tradition. It even refers to a return of the Christ or Messiah and the prophecies, the fulfillment of the second coming. And it's important to note how that symbol got on the back of the dollar bill first and foremost. And we know that it was designed under the watchful eye of Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams, and being commissioned on July 4th, 1776 with the founding of America. And it had laid pretty much dormant until, as Warren mentioned, at the request of Henry Wallace and also Nicholas Rurik, a world-famous Russian mystic guru, FDR ordered that stamped on the back of the dollar bill. Now, the really key piece of information here is that they ordered this symbol stamped on the back of the dollar bill shortly after Rurik had been dispatched to Mongolia by FDR to look for the reincarnated Jesus and, in fact, the secrets of the Holy Grail itself.
So he actually sent someone to look for this?
In 1934, there was an expedition to Mongolia led by Nicholas Rurik, a world-famous Russian mystic guru who had followed the trail, the alleged trail of Jesus from Palestine through Egypt on through India into Mongolia, where he trained at the same lamaseries that the lamas report that Jesus trained at. And he came back to FDR and Henry Wallace convinced that he would be successful in retrieving not only the grail, but also evidence for the second coming.
Well, this leads right into you, Glenn Kimball, of course. This search, which I assume was not successful, was it?
It was totally successful. In fact, I wrote my book, The Atomic Christ, is about this quest and the gathering of all of the evidence, A, that the expedition took place, and the references that it was successful are contained in a cache of letters written by Henry A. Wallace to Nicholas Rurik throughout the course of the expedition. Now, we don't have a smoking gun that says they found either Jesus or the Holy Grail, but the letters clearly indicate that this was the object of their quest. And if anyone's ever seen the Indiana Jones movies, we know that they were, in fact, in a race against Adolf Hitler.
Right.
I mean, I consider this, George, to be probably one of the single most important unreported stories of the 20th century because it provides the entire occult backdrop for World War II.
Well, and that was a huge backdrop as well, because wasn't Adolf Hitler just obsessed with the occult?
Adolf Hitler, Heinrich Himmler, most of the Nazi high command were deeply steeped in the mysteries of not only the Grail, but they were reforming the Templars as well, and modeled the SS as a new Templar order, using many of the symbols, using the motivation of the Templars as the supreme master race that had access to just incredible Enlightenment teachings, which of course they perverted and used in a negative fashion. So it's a truly remarkable story.
And George, if I may,
go ahead, Warren.
What's interesting about FDR, as was recently profiled in a Rolling Stone piece, was he was really after the potential treasure at Oak Island in Nova Scotia, which we should talk about tonight, and which is where some people believe the Templar treasure was brought to in North America by Sinclair. So FDR, as a young man with some other very prominent people, was up there looking around, scoping around, and he, of course, was one of the 15 or so Masonic presidents that we have had.